हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभां व्यास शंकर मध्यमां अस्मदाचार्य पर्यंतां वंदे गुरु परंपरां श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानां आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्र भाष्य कृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। हरि ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ॐ ॐ ईशावास्यम् इदं सर्वं यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् यत्किञ्च जगत्यां जगत् तेन त्यक्तेन भुञ्जीथाः माग्रधः कस्य स्विद्धनम् कुर्वन्नेवेह कर्माणि जिजीविषेच्छतगं समाः एवं त्वयि नान्यथेतोऽस्ति न कर्म लिप्यते नरे असुर्यानामते लोकाः अन्धेन तमसा वृताः तागुंस्ते प्रेत्याभिगच्छन्ति ये के चात्महनो जनाः अनेजदेकम् मनसो जवीयः नैनदेवा आप्नुवन् पूर्वमर्षत् तद्धावतोऽन्यानत्येति तिष्ठत्तस्मिन्नपो मातरिष्वादधाति तदेजति తన్నైజతి తద్దూరే తద్వంతికే తదంతరస్య సర్వస్య తదూ సర్వస్యాస్య బాహ్యతః యస్తు సర్వాణి భూతాని ఆత్మన్యేవానుపశ్యతి సర్వభూతేషు చాత్మానం తతో న విజుగుప్సతే యస్మిన్ సర్వాణి భూతాని ఆత్మైవాభూత్ విజానతః తత్ర కో మోహః కశోకః ఏకత్వమనుపశ్యతః సపర్యగాచ్ఛుక్రం అకాయమౌవ్రణం అస్నావిరయం శుద్ధమపాపవిద్ధం కవిర్మనీషీ పరిభూస్వయంభూః యాథా తథ్యతోర్థాన్ వ్యదదాచ్చాశ్వతీభ్యః సమాభ్యః అంధం తమః ప్రవిశంతి ఏ అవిద్యాముపాసతే తతో భూయ ఇవ తే తమో య ఊ విద్యాయా గుంగతాః అన్యదేవాహుర్ అన్యదేవాహుః విద్యయా అన్యదాహుర విద్యయా ఇతి సుశ్రుమ ధీరాణాం యేనస్తద్ విచచక్షిరే విద్యాంచ అవిద్యాంచ యస్తద్ వేద ఉభయగుం సహ అవిద్యయా మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా విద్యయా అమృతమశ్నుతే విద్యాంచ అవిద్యాంచ యస్తద్ వేద ఉభయగుం సహ యస్తద్ వేదోభయగుం సహ అవిద్యయా మృత్యుం తీర్త్వా విద్యయా అమృతమశ్నుతే Now we are seeing the commentary on the topic of Karma Yoga, the path of karma. And we have seen the first topic covered in first three mantras from 9th to the 11th. In 9th mantra, we saw the condemnation of mere performance of ritual without combining it with upasana, meditation, and also condemnation of mere practice of meditation without performing ritual. And we know this is only for the condemnation, is not real condemnation. It's only for understanding the importance of combining them both, so that to be able to enjoy a better result. And the 10th mantra itself made it very clear, combination must be only of two independent actions, two independent factors which are productive themselves. A karma which is capable of producing its own result, which can stand independently, is an angi. So also upasanam, meditation, which has its own independent result, is also another angi. If any ritual does not produce a result by itself independently, it can only be an anga, it cannot be an angi. A non-productive ritual can be a part of another angi. An angam can be a part of another angi. Independent ritual or meditation. So combination, samuchchayaha, synthesis is always of two independent factors which have their own results. Two angis alone can be combined. Angi dvayoho. Angi dvayasya or dvayoho anginoho samuchchayaha sadhyaha. Samuchchayaha is possible. We understood. And then for which it was made very clear how karma, ritual also produces its own result. Upasana, meditation also produces its own result. It has its own independent result. So they both are angis, they can be combined. And for which the example was given from, quoted from Shatapatha Brahmanam and also from Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. So vidyaya devalokaha karmanam pitra lokaha means, those two statements reveal that how karma by itself enables a person, karma performed without combining it with any meditation also, produces the result that it can enable a person go to pitraloka. So also upasanam practiced independently without involving any karma also can enable a person go to devaloka, much higher loka. Then the proof, authentic valid information which has been given in the Vedashastram itself, which comes through, has been being brought down information until now through the teachers of who are part of the unbroken lineage of Guru Parampara. It was established in the 10th verse. So the 11th verse we saw how karma upasana samuchchayaha produces the palam, and how, what does karma and upasana, when they are combined, what is the palam, what is the benefit we have? Karma helps one to overcome mrityu. Mrityu taranam, overcoming mrityu is the result of benefit of combining karma with upasanam. And amrutattva praptihi, devata bhava praptihi is the result of practicing upasanam, combining it with karma. Is it clear? So, two words we saw. That's why we stopped yesterday. We have to go to the Siddhi Bhashyam now. And I already explained what is mrityuhu and what is amrita praptihi. You see here. And we know very well when these two words vidya and avidya are used in the context of karma, vidya means upasanam, avidya means karma, even though they give different meanings in other contexts. Similarly, the word mrityuhu literally means time factor death elsewhere. In the context of karma, mrityuhu means instinctive, natural behavior and thinking. Similarly, amrutattvam means immortality, mokshaha, jnanam, atmajnanam. But in the context of karma, where amrutattva means apekshika mokshaha, is a temporary freedom, or we can call it devatatma bhavaha. What is devatatma bhavaha? We will see here. So these two words also give different meanings, mrityuhu and amrutam, amrutattva prapti. The last bit of Bhashyam we to have seen. Vidyacha, vidyamcha, avidyamcha, yastadveda, ubhayagumsaha, avidyaya, mrityum titva, vidyaya, amrutamashnute. If you see this verb, tirtva, tva, tvanta shabda, a verb ending with the affix tva, is indeclinable participle. So, having crossed, that expression denotes both these things do not happen simultaneously. When do you use indeclinable participle? Always one thing must happen first, the other thing should happen later. Only then we use this expression. Rama goes to the dining hall, then he eats. How would you say? Rama gatva khadati. He must go first. Going is first action. Eating comes the second action. They do not happen simultaneously. Going and eating does not happen simultaneously. That is when we use this indeclinable participle. So here also tirtva is indeclinable participle. So having crossed, having overcome, then alone the person amrutam ashnute vidyaya. As a result of practicing upasanam, this person amritam ashnute. He attains amritam. The verb ashnute does not mean eats here. It's another verb ashnati, which means eats. But this is ashnute, means attains. Attains amritam means, the word amritam means devatatma bhavaha. We'll see that anyway. So, mrityu taranam is the first result which a person Karma Upasana Samuchayakarta. The person who performs ritual along with the practice of meditation, who combines them, that Karma Upasana Samuchayakarta, first, as a result of performing ritual, he enjoys this Mrityu Taranam. He overcomes Mrityu. Then he attains Amritam. So what is Mrityu and Amritam? We already seen. I will repeat to you again. I will read the Bhashyam. Yataha Evam. Yataha Evam. We find in Bhashyam. What is it? As this is how it is. This is how it is. Ataha Vidyam cha Avidyam cha. These are words from mantra. And what does Shankara Bhagavatpada say? Devata jnanam karma cha ityarthaha. See, the mantra words are Vidyam cha Avidyam cha. Shankara Bhagavatpada changes them into, he gives it, meaning is what? Devata jnanam and karma. I already told you, he does not feel exhausted repeating the teaching. He is very careful. Vidya means, vidya, jnanam means immediately our minds will think only of Paramartha Jnanam, Atma Ekatva Vijnanam. Our mind think only of the knowledge of the truth, Atma Jnanam only. Therefore, he says, no, in this context, it is not Paramartha Jnanam, it is not Devata, it is not Paramartha Jnanam, it is not Atma Ekatva Vijnanam, it is not Atma Jnanam, it is Devata Jnanam. So, Devata Jnanam is another term for Vidya, which means Upasanam. Dhyanam, Upasanam, Devata Jnanam. Devata Jnanam is Upasanam, meditation. Upasanam, karma, ritual, cha. Iti artaha. So, now we don't know confusion now. Shankara Bhagavatpada has given these meanings. Yaha tad yetad ubhayam saha ekena purushena anushteyam veda. So the person knows that these two, karma and upasana, must be followed by one person. Ekena purushena anushteyam. They both must be followed by one person. How? Ubhayam saha. Sai ubhayam saha, together. Not one or the other. By one person, both must be practiced, followed together. One who knows this, and one who follows, knowing that both must be followed by one person together, the person who follows, tasya, for such a person, evam, samuchaya karinaha, eva. So only for that samuchaya karta, samuchaya karinaha means for samuchayakari, for the person who combines them together and practices, follows, for him alone, yeka purushartha sambandha. Kramena syat ityuchyate. Yeka purushartha sambandha means only for such a person, the result of both, the results of both, only for a person who practices them together, who follows them together, knowing that they both must be combined, and only for such a person who practices for him, the results of both actions happen not simultaneously but sequentially, okay, or successively. Results happen successively, one after the other. With avidya, results happen first, vidya results happen next. Result of karma happens first, result of meditation happens later. And what is the result? We see that. That's why kramena, kramena syat, eka purushartha sambandha. Eka purushartha sambandha means here, the result of both now will happen for that one person kramena, successively, sequentially, successively results will happen, not simultaneously. First he will have mrityu taranam. How can he have devatatma bha without having become pure? So first the person becomes refined, mentally refined. Then this person will have amritam, devatatma bhavaha. Which means, what does it mean? See, even to go to Brahmaloka, even to have devatatma bhava, even to enjoy, you know, the better pleasures and all that, you must be qualified. So karma gives you that qualification. That's what is first. Karma helps you become qualified, prepares you, then you enjoy better results. That's why kramena, the word kramena is very important. Why? Karma upasana samuchaya karta does not enjoy the results of both at both. Even though he enjoys both, he has both results, but he does not have them simultaneously. He will have them successively. Okay, next page number 60. Avidyaya. Again he translates Sankara. Karmana. Avidyaya. Karmana. How much he doesn't? No? He can leave it. No, we know all the, we know the meaning already. Avidya means karma. But he repeats it. Avidyaya. Karmana. So by practicing, by performing ritual means regularly following the doing nitya karmani. No? It means living one's life. The word by avidyaya means karmana. Karmana means what? Not simply performing a ritual means what? Performing a ritual means what? Not simply performing agnihotari karma. No. By following the way of life enjoined by the Veda Shastram. By strictly living a Vedic way of life. That's what I mean. Karmana does not simply mean performing one ritual alone. Suppose everyday person performs ritual. He does not follow other how Veda expects us to live. That karma becomes a mere karma. It will not become yoga. I told you already, any karma you perform, any action you do, definitely will produce a result. Why? That's law of karma. No karma, no action, no ritual, whatever you do cannot go without producing a result. What you speak, what you do, what you say, everything will have an effect. We don't pay attention to many things, really speaking. That's why elders used to say back home, be careful in what you're saying. even casually, sometimes, you know, we don't mean sometimes, we utter something. When the word has come out of the mouth, it is a karma done already. So it will have phalam. Then afterward, oh, I didn't mean it. I didn't really mean to do it. I didn't mean to say it. Once it has come out, it has become a karma done. It has a phalam result. That's why before you speak, before you do, before think, do anything thoughtfully. Don't mechanically do anything. If you are conscious of what you are doing, then definitely we will not do anything wrong. Because you don't want to do wrong. As a person following the Vedic way of life, and I definitely use my willpower, I use my knowledge of right and wrong, so when I consciously do, I can avoid what is not proper. That's why when you say avidyaya means karmana, even though it implies ritual, what is that? Agnihotradina. Agnihotradina. So karmana implies by following nitya karmani, nitya naimittika karmani, which means by following a Vedic way of life. For living a lifestyle life enjoined by the Veda. Living a worshipful life. Living a worshipful, prayerful life enjoined by the Veda. In conformity with Dharma. So much is implied. Why? Shankar Bhagavatpada gives the meaning Agnihotradina. So performing the Agnihotram karma, actually nitya nitya karma. Nitya karma means daily worship. Daily worship implies what? Living a worshipful life. Expressing our gratitude to Bhagavan in the form of devatas. I'll try to elaborate on these things in the morning talks. So, Agnihotradina. What is the result? Mrityum. So mrityum means what? He gives the meaning swabhavikam karma. Now you can note down. Mrityu is equal to swabhavikam karma. Swabhavikam karma means whatever is naturally there. Natural, instinctive, thoughtless actions and behavior. And also thinking, natural, instinctive thinking. Not only behavior, also thinking. It's called mrityu. So once you live, consciously live a worshipful, prayerful life of values, performing rituals, then naturally it results in changing your natural instinctive behavior and thinking. So the unrefined, uncivilized mind becomes refined person. Like uncut diamond becomes cut, blazing diamond. Isn't it? Swabhavikam karma. The next, jnanam cha mrityu shabda vachyam. See, swabhavikam karma means natural, instinctive, uncultured behavior. And swabhavikam jnanam also is there. The word jnanam means actually our inner life. Means mind. Uncultured, uncivilized, natural, instinctive ways of thinking. We all have our own ways of thinking. Whatever way we want to think, we think. But now, as a person living a life of karma yoga, living a life enjoined by the Veda Shastram, you don't just whatever you want to think, you don't think. Thoughts may come, but you are conscious. Because all the time you are alert and conscious, naturally wrong thoughts even do not arise. Even if they come, you were very careful in implementing, expressing them. So, jnanam here actually natural ways of thinking. Instinctive. So, karma and jnanam both. Mrityuhu, mrityu shabda vachyam ubhayam. The word mrityuhu means both swabhavikam karma and swabhavikam jnanam. Swabhavikam karma means natural instinctive behavior, and swabhavikam jnana means natural instinctive thinking. Okay? Both externally, also the person's refinement will be expressed in one's behavior. Mentally also he becomes refined person. The behavior itself will show that he is an internally refined person. Sometimes outwardly a person may look very nice. Outwardly I can pose myself to be a highly righteous person. I can come here with all vibhuti, chandan, kumkum, and I clean clothes, come here, light the lamp, offer everything, do namaskaram. Every day if you see me doing, you may think, oh, really a nice religious person. But in the mind, I may be different person. It's called split in the personality. Internally, I may have, who knows what I'm thinking. People can only see me outwardly what I am doing, but what I entertain, what sort of thoughts I entertain, what is my way, what is the way I think, others don't know. I may have my own ways of thinking. I may have jealousy, I may have hatred, I may have anger. I may think, oh, I should not let this person be before me. I want to be in the good books of Swamiji. So, people should know here that I am only doing. Lots of, it's all instinctive, natural, lots of thinking. It's called swabhavikam jnanam. Not only a person becomes a person of refined behavior, a person of refined thinking. Jnanam. The word he puts in karma jnanam. Swabhavikam karma, swabhavikam jnanam is to mrityu shabda vachyam ubhayam. Tirtva. Okay, the person overcomes mrityu means he overcomes both. Overcoming both means he becomes a refined individual, cultured individual. Atikramya, overcoming that, then this is done by karma. Vidyaya devata jnanena. As a result of practicing meditation, amritam ashnute. The word amritam is what? Devatatma bhavaha. Amritam is equal. Devata jnanam is upasanam. And the result of practicing devata jnanam is what? Devatatma bhavaha. Devatatma bhavaha means having the status of being the devata. Like Varunaha, Indraha, such positions are there. One can have the devatatma bhava. Or being one with devatas, beings of higher order. Yesterday, Gyaneshwari was asking, if I don't want to go to Devata Atma Bhava, you don't want to have Devata Atma Bhava, no problem. This preparation will result in what? From there, you can be take, you can become a Jnana Yogi. You can take to the life of, you can give, then you can be given to the discipline of pursuit of knowledge. Jnana Yogaha. Tad. Advayam. Amrita Muchyate. Yetadeva. Yade. Devatatma Gamanam. Yad Devatatma Gamanam. Devatatma Gamanam means attaining the state of being one with the Devata, attaining the position of a Devata. So it is not, it is something won't be very clear for you, but Shastram says one have that position. So thereby it is possible to attain even Krama Muktihi. Or even you have the status, you don't need to go to Brahmaloka before even body falls apart. I tell you one thing. If a person practices meditation and lives a Vedic way of life, then when can he go to Devata, go to attain Devatatma Bhavaha? He can attain Devatatma Bhavaha only after leaving the human body. Only after the death, the person will have status of being the Devata, being one with the Devata. That is possible only after the fall of the body. Suppose the person becomes a refined individual when he is alive. So karma palam is enjoyable when you are alive here. But upasana palam you will enjoy after the death only. Therefore, once you have got karma palam, you become mentally pure and steady, refined, you have emotional stability, intellectual sharpness, you are pure and steady, then before falling, your body falls apart, you still have the punyam of going to Devatatma, attaining Devatatma Bhava. But till Parabdha is there, then you can be given to the discipline of Jnana Yoga. Then you can attain Jnanam here. Then you can say extra punyam you have. When you attain Jnanam, you are Atma Jnani, and Shastram says, other people come and bow to you, they can share your punyam. They can't go to Brahmaloka, but they can enjoy some benefits in this life. No, I think this verse is very clear. Tadhyamruta muchyate. Tadhyamruta muchyate. Tad hi amrutam uchyate. Tadhyamrutam uchyate. Yad devatatma gamanam. Is the result. Adhuna. Now, karma upasana samuchayaha, that topic is over. Now we enter into next topic. And you'll be very happy to know same words are repeated here. Nothing much to learn here. But still you would learn, I tell you a few things. Adhuna. Vyakrita. Avyakrita upasanayoho samuchichishaya pratyekam ninda uchyate. Now from 12th onwards, 12th, 13th and 14th, in three mantras I have already told you. synthesis of two upasanams is discussed. Here again, there are so many upasanams discussed in the Upasana Kanda. A person can practice one upasanam, one given specific meditation, and can enjoy the result of it. Upasanam, any one upasanam is independently productive, effective. It has its own independent result. Your upasanam is, meditation is angi. If two upasanams are there, two angis, and they also can be combined. Combining two upasanams means what? One person can practice both meditations together. Instead of stopping with one, he can also practice another upasanam meditation. Remember, already I have told you, contemplation is different from meditation. It's only meditation only you can combine to this meditation, that meditation. There's no, you can never combine contemplation with any meditation. It's completely object of meditation in contemplation is the meditator swarupam itself. Whereas here, the two different objects of meditation. And one meditator is focusing his attention on two different objects. So it means he practices two different meditations together. One person. Must be very clear. So the first mantra, again, when each meditation has its own result, it is good. No, no, no. Meditation is not wrong or bad. But still, just for the sake of emphasizing again, upasana samuchichishaya. Samuchichisha. Now you know the verb. Samuchayaha combination. Samuchichishati wants to combine. And samuchichishaya with a desire to combine, with the desire to synthesize, with the desire to combine both upasanams, both meditations. Here also there is a ninda. Ninda means what? Ninda also means criticism, condemnation, censure, isn't it? So there's the condemnation of practice of one meditation. Okay, practicing any one of the two meditations is condemned here. Condemnation of practicing any one of the meditations without combining it with the other is discussed in this first mantra. So now you must already take it easy. What is that? This condemnation is not real condemnation. It's only to help us, inspire us to combine combination of both upasanas, to combine both meditations. See here, adhuna, now adhuna means now, after having discussed karma, upasana, samuchayaha, now, adhuna, now, vyakrita, avyakrita, upasanayoho, samuchichishaya, with the desire to combine two meditations, vyakrita upasanam and avyakrita upasanam, the desire to combine them both, pratyekam means ekaikasya ninda uchyate. So condemnation of practicing only one of the two, leaving the other, is mentioned in this first mantra. Adi Shankara's commentary has made very clear why condemnation, samuchichishaya, with the desire to combine them. Is it clear now? Okay, here I want you to understand first again different words. What are the words you have to understand? What are the two upasanams first of all? Vyakrita upasanam. The name of the meditation is Vyakrita upasanam and Avyakrita upasanam. Vyakrita upasanam. Next is Avyakrita upasanam. We have another names for this. Vyakrita upasanam also means Hiranyagarbha upasanam. You can call it either Vyakrita upasanam or you can also call it Hiranyagarbha upasanam. They are not different. And Avyakrita upasanam means Prakriti upasanam. So you can say what now? Vyakrita upasanam, Hiranyagarbha upasanam. Avyakrita upasanam is Prakriti upasanam. So we can say Vyakrita Avyakrita upasana yoho or Hiranyagarbha Prakriti upasana yoho samuchichishaya, with the desire to combine both these Hiranyagarbha upasana and Prakriti upasana, practicing any one of them independently without combining it with the other is condemned here. Okay. Now, Hiranyagarbha, not direct, the name Hiranyagarbha is not mentioned here in the mantra. The name Vyakrita also is not mentioned in the mantra. But different words are used. In the textbook, three names are used for Hiranyagarbha. Okay. We are going in all three mantras. You find one Hiranyagarbha is mentioned by three different names. What are those names? First name is Sambhutihi. Sambhutihi, one word. And another name used to mean Hiranyagarbha is Sambhavaha. Another name used is Vinashaha. Wait, completely different words. Vinashaha, Sambhutihi, Sambhavaha. These three words are used in the mantras. Three mantras, we have three different names for one Hiranyagarbha. And Shankara Bhagavatpada in his commentary uses another word, Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma also means Hiranyagarbha. Karyam Brahma means what? Manifest knowledge. Karyam Brahma means manifest knowledge. The entire subtle universe is manifestation of knowledge. Not only subtle universe, even the gross universe also is manifestation of knowledge. For gross universe also is said to be Karyam Brahma. Okay. So Virat also is Karyam Brahma, Hiranyagarbha also is Karyam Brahma, because both are manifestations. But now here, Shankara Bhagavatpada uses the term Karyam Brahma in his commentary to mean Hiranyagarbha. Now how many words you have? Sambhutihi, Sambhavaha, Vinashaha, Karyam Brahma. Karyam Brahma is not used in the mantra, but used in the bhashyam. Okay, isn't it? Now Vyakritaha, one more word you can add here. Vyakritaha, Hiranyagarbha, five different words you have learnt for one Hiranyagarbha. Okay, now why the word Sambhutihi is used to mean Hiranyagarbha? Sambhutihi is a feminine noun. Sambhavaha is a masculine noun. Both these words mean origination. birth, coming into existence, happening. That's the meaning. See, this Hiranyagarbha is a name implying the entire total subtle manifestation. Subtle manifestation has what? Beginning. Beginning. It has also end also. Beginning means there's a time whole subtle universe comes into manifestation. Again it becomes unmanifest. Isn't it? Comes and goes. Because the Hiranyagarbha comes and goes. Hiranyagarbha has birth. Hiranyagarbha has resolution also. Death also. Death means what? Becoming manifest is birth, create, origination. Becoming unmanifest is vinashaha. Okay? Becoming manifest. Becoming manifest is sambhutihi, sambhavaha. Becoming unmanifest is vinashaha. Because Hiranyagarbha has origination, because Hiranyagarbha has also an end, comes, goes, comes and goes, the origination, again resolution. Origination, again resolution. It happens. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha is, he has this attribute of coming into existence, again disappearing, again becoming resolved, therefore becoming unmanifest. So these two words, sambhutihi sambhavaha means origination, vinashaha means resolution. Hiranya, the subtle manifestation, it comes and goes. Therefore we say what? Hiranyagarbha has beginning, Hiranyagarbha has an end also. Therefore, he is known by those two names. Is it clear? Why Hiranyagarbha? Why Hyambhuti is the word used? Because he has beginning. Why the word Vinashaha is used? Because he has end also. End means not tot, absolute end, goes and comes. Unmanifest and unmanifest. These are the names you know. Very good. And because becomes manifest, it must have the cause, so it is an effect called Karyam Brahma. Whatever becomes manifest must have the source of manifestation, which is the cause. Your manifestation is always looked upon as an effect. Manifest universe, manifestation is effect. The cause of manifestation is cause, Karanam. Your Hiranyagarbha is called Karyam Brahma. Are given the reasons why one Hiranyagarbha is given different names. Because these mantras we are going to read again. The sense you have to understand right now here itself. Why Karyam Brahma? Because it is an effect. For Hiranyagarbha to become manifest, there must be a cause from where it becomes manifest. So it's called Karyam Brahma. Karyam means effect. Okay. Therefore it also becomes what? Manifest. Vyakritam means what? Differentiated. Karyam Brahma means manifest. Manifest means, the effect means manifest. Manifest means differentiated. Whose Hiranyagarbha alone is in the form of all the minds. Hiranyagarbha is in the form of all sense organs. Hiranyagarbha is in the form of all powers of organs of actions. Hiranyagarbha is in the form of all physiological functions. Is it clear? Hiranyagarbha is all the minds, all the intellects, all the powers, subtle powers. All physiological functions put together is Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is a concept. Okay, don't go and search for Hiranyagarbha sitting somewhere. If your stomach is like, makes noise after 10:30, Hiranyagarbha. and your breathing. Inhaling, exhaling, Hiranyagarbha. Don't search for him anywhere. Rise are seeing, Hiranyagarbha is in the form of your own seeing power. Your hearing power is Hiranyagarbha. Because of Hiranyagarbha's blessing, you are listening now. Understand? All functions are happening. All functions are Hiranyagarbha. That's why everything, all different functions are happening, subtle functions, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, inside also digesting, circulating, all are happening, all functions are Hiranyagarbha. You are understanding in the class, Hiranyagarbha. Listening in the class, Hiranyagarbha. Hiranyagarbha is in the form of the function of listening, the function of understanding, retaining, it's all Hiranyagarbha. Is it clear? That's why differentiated. Vyakritaha. So Hiranyagarbha has different names. Vyakritaha, Karyam Brahma, Sambhutihi, Sambhavaha, Vinashaha. So many words. Shankar Bhagavatpada introduces the Upasana as Vyakrita, Avyakrita Upasana. But in mantra, you cannot find Vyakrita, Avyakrita words. You only have Sambhava. That's why I wanted to tell you, all these words mean actually, Vyakritaha means differentiated, subtle aspects which are recognizable in waking state, all Hiranyagarbha only. Okay. Vyakrita, Avyakrita, Upasanayoho, Samuchichishaya, Pratyekam, Ninda, Uchyate. Next, this is the mantra now. And another word. What is Avyakritam? Here, Vyakritam, Hiranyagarbha. What about Avyakritam? Avyakritam is unmanifest. Karanam Brahma. Vyakritam means differentiated. Differentiated means recognizable. Recognizable means manifest. Three words should go together, okay? Vyakritam means differentiated. Differentiated means recognizable. Recognizable means manifest. But this Karyam Brahma. Now, Avyakritam means Prakritihi. Prakritihi means Karanam Brahma. What is Karanam Brahma? Unmanifest universe. For your understanding, I am telling you. I don't need to tell you all these things. I'm just explaining. Okay? I'm telling you because this must have not any confusion here. Avyakritihi. Avyakritam. Avyakritihi. Prakritihi. Avyaktam. I mean, Karanam Brahma. And here, what about Prakriti? Prakriti has no beginning. Cause does not have a beginning, isn't it? Effect has a beginning. Effect origin comes into existence from the cause, and effect is there for some time. Effect again resolves, becomes unmanifest. But the cause is always the same. So cause has no beginning. Therefore, cause does not originate. Cause doesn't have a beginning. And avyaktam, avyakritihi means prakritihi. Prakritihi, you can say maya. Okay? Prakritihi, maya. Karanam, Brahma. So many words for one word. Avyaktam, avyakritihi, prakritihi, maya, karanam, Brahma. And what are the words used in the mantra? Asambhutihi. Asambhuti means what? That which does not have a beginning, that which does not have origination. Asambhuti. So asambhuti is a noun, feminine noun. Asambhavaha, masculine noun. So you can say asambhuti. Three words used to mean avyakritam. Hope I'm not confusing you all. Are you all okay?
Yes.
Asambhuti, asambhavaha are two words used in the mantra. For three words for Hiranyagarbha, two words for Prakriti. Asambhuti, asambhavaha. And Prakriti has no nasha. No, because there is no beginning, no end also. Okay. Let us see the mantra now with this understanding. Andham tamaha pravishanti ye asambhuti mupasate. Ye asambhutim upasate. Te andham tamaha pravishanti. I need not translate those words. Andham tamaha pravishanti. You all know already very well. Those people who meditate on Hiranyagarbha. No, asambhuti prakriti. Those who meditate only on prakriti. Those who practice only prakriti upasanam. They enter into blinding darkness. The dark place of darkness, narakam. Okay. They get hell. Okay. There's no hell. Then, first mantra is asambhutim. First line talks about practicing mere practice of prakriti upasana. Okay? Avyakrita upasana. Asambhuti upasate. Second line, tato bhoyaiva te tamaha ya u sambhutyagum rataha sambhutyam rataha. That other people who are involved only in practicing Hiranyagarbha upasanam, sambhutihi, sambhutyam is locative case. Those who are involved only in Hiranyagarbha are sambhutihi. Means what? Those who practice only Hiranyagarbha upasanam, sambhuti upasanam, they enter into much worse blinding darkness. So I won't translate much, we won't do much, we'll move on to the next bhashya. Now you know the names, all the names you know very clearly. Is it clear? What are the two words used, what are the two words used for prakriti in this mantra? I told you already. Asambhutihi asambhavaha. That's all. Andham tamaha pravishanti. Quickly read, finish it. Ye asambhutim. Okay. Here asambhuti, Shankara gives the meaning. Sambhavanam. Sambhutihi. Sa. Yasya karyasya. Sa. Sambhutihi. Tasya anya. Asambhutihi. Prakritihi. See, Hiranyagarbha has origination. And for the origination of Hiranyagarbha, that which is the cause is asambhutihi. The cause of Hiranyagarbha, Hiranyagarbha is effect, Maya is cause. Is it clear? Hiranyagarbha is manifest universe. Maya is unmanifest universe. Maya Prakriti is Karanam Brahma. Hiranyagarbha is Karyam Brahma. So what he says here, Sambhutihi is Hiranyagarbha. And the cause of Hiranyagarbha does not have a beginning. I mean, it is implied by the word Asambhutihi. And those who practice only meditation upon Prakritihi, Asambhutihi. Let us see next word now. Tasya Anya Asambhutihi Prakritihi Karanam Avidya Avyakrita Akhya. All these words Shankaracharya brings in. Look at this now. Asambhutihi Prakritihi Karanam Avidya Avyakrita Akhya. Akhya means known as. Okay. Other than that which has origination is Sambhutihi Hiranyagarbha, and the cause of origination is Asambhutihi, who is nothing and none other than Prakritihi Karanam Avidya Avyakrita. So many terms he is saying. Tam Asambhutim. Read now. Tam Asambhutim Avyakrita Akhyam Prakritim Karanam Avidyam. Bah, so many words Shankaracharya uses. Who is this Asambhutihi? Prakritihi. Who is this Prakritihi? Karanam. What is this Karanam? Avidya. What is Avidya? He's giving one more thing. Kama Karma Bijam. Beautiful, isn't it? What is Avidya? Kama Karma Bijam. Means material cause of desire and action. Kama Karma Bijam means what? Material cause of desire and action. Upadana Karanam of desire and action. Which means cause, seed of desire and action. Because of which alone desire can sprout, actions are possible. Where does the desire, how does the desire sprout? There must be seed for the desire to sprout. That cause is avidya. And that avidya is Asambhutihi here. I tell you, I don't know. I didn't want to say that. So many words he himself mentions. Upanishad uses only one word Asambhutihi. Asambhutihi means that which does non-origination. Non-origination. That is the meaning of the word Asambhutihi. But what is implied by the term non-origination? Prakritihi. What is Prakritihi? Subtlest matter. What is subtlest Prakriti here? Avidya. Avyakrita. What is Avidya? Kama Karma Bijam. I wish you all read along with me the Bhashyam to see what is there. Kama Karma Bija Bhutam. Kama Karma Bija Bhutam. And he says one more word. Adarshanatmikam. Adarshanatmikam. See, this Maya, this Prakritihi is Adarshanatmika. Why Adarshanatmika? You cannot see Prakriti, ignorance through your eyes. You cannot perceive ignorance through sense organs. Isn't it? You cannot even cognize ignorance. See, the total ignorance, Mula Vidya, is not an object of thought. Why? How can the cause of mind, mind is a product of Mula Vidya. Isn't it? How can Mula Vidya, which is the cause of the mind, become object of knowledge? Mula Vidya is only for Sakshi Pratyaksha. It's available for only Sakshi, not for the mind. object of sakshi, not object of knowledge, not object of sense organs. Moolaha Vidya is not an object. Got the point? Anyway, lots of things we are expected to know already. That is, adarshanatmikam upasate ye te tadanurupameva tad anurupameva andham tamaha adarshanatmakam pravishanti tataha tasmadapi bhuyaha bahutaramiva tamaha pravishanti ya u sambhutyam karya brahmani hiranyagarbhakheratah keratah. Bhashan is over for that, which means he makes it very clear. See, people who meditate upon only prakritihi, asambhutihi, in keeping with the object of meditation, they enter into that sort of blinding darkness only. And who practice, next time he says, only for asambhuti upasam, he said so many sentences he has mentioned here. But otherwise, tasmadapi bhuyaha bahutaramiva tamaha pravishanti yahu sambhutyam rataha. Sambhutihi is name of karyam brahma is hiranyagarbha. Again, Shankaracharya mentions all these names. Sambhutyam is a mantra. What is Shankaracharya's meaning? Karya brahmani hiranyagarbha akhe. So karyam brahma, known as hiranyagarbha, in that hiranyagarbha, those who are engrossed, those who are involved only in practicing meditation on hiranyagarbha, those people enter into much worse blinding darkness. Okay, now it's over. We'll move on to next mantra soon, quickly. Nothing much to understand here. I read this Bhashyam, really, I took more time just for you to have know so many different terms used. And each term has its own given reason. Adhuna Ubhayoho Upasanayoho Samuchaya Karanam Avayava Palabhedam. Aha. Now this 13th mantra, next mantra. Now, Ubhayoho Upasanayoho Samuchaya Karanam Avayava Palabhedam Aha. Now in this mantra, 13th mantra, you can understand that why Ninda, the condemnation is not real condemnation, because each Upasanam has its own independent result. So avayava palabhedaha means independent result of each Upasanam. Each Upasanam has its own result. Therefore, each Upasanam is angi, complete action. Each Upasanam, each meditation is angi, a complete meditation, complete one. It has its own phalam. The phalam is said here. What is the benefit of practicing independently both? Prakriti Upasanam, if you practice, what is the phalam? You practice Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, what is the result? That is mentioned here. Okay? In this mantra. Let us read it now. Anyadeva Ahuhu. So you'll be happy to see the words are repeated here. Anyadeva Ahuhu. Sambhavat. Anyadahuhu. Asambhavat. Iti Sushruma. Dhiranam ye nas
யே
நஸ்தது
விசச்சக்ஷிரே
யே
நஹ
தது
விசச்சக்ஷிரே.
Same words like before.
We came across in the previous mantras.
So here, anyat eva ahuhu, anyadeva ahuhu sambhavat.
Now you know what is the word used to Hiranyagarbha.
The previous mantra, Hiranyagarbha, was mentioned by the word sambhutihi.
In this mantra, Hiranyagarbha is mentioned by the word Sambhavaha.
See the difference now. Sambhavat.
Previously it was said,
Ye Sambhutim Upasate.
Ye Sambhutyam Rataha.
Now it is said,
Anyadeva Ahuhu Sambhavat.
In 13th mantra, Hiranyagarbha is mentioned by the word Sambhavaha, not by the word Sambhutihi.
Sambhutihi, Sambhavaha mean the same.
What is the difference?
Sambhavaha is a masculine noun, masculine gender word.
Sambhutihi is a feminine gender word.
Both words mean Hiranyagarbha
because Hiranyagarbha has origination.
Beginning.
Sambhavat means
this meditation upon Hiranyagarbha has its own independent result.
Next, anyat ahuhu asambhavat.
Yet ahuhu asambhavat.
Now, asambhavaha is means what?
Asambhutihi prakritihi.
Now asambhavaha.
Look at this. Another word is used here.
So there is a different result for meditation upon asambhavaha prakritihi.
So sambhavaha, asambhavaha are used in this mantra to mean Hiranyagarbha and prakritihi.
To mean karyam brahma and karanam brahma.
Okay, who say this?
These two different upasanas have two different results of their own.
Who says this?
Iti shushrumad dhiranam.
We have heard this.
We heard the words of wise people, learned people who have profound knowledge in the karma upasana khandas,
who have profound knowledge of Veda Shastram.
Naha tad vichachakshire.
Those people who have taught us, who had taught us before.
Vichachakshire is a past perfect tense verb.
Ye naha tad vichachakshire.
Those teachers who had taught us.
Means what?
In sampradaya we had teachers
and those teachers have taught us.
Therefore it is definitely valid information. It's a fact.
Even though it's a non- Even though we do not understand the benefit, etc., we
don't know what the benefit is, how the benefit is going to happen,
it is not a verifiable matter for belief,
still it is a valid information because it has come from our teachers.
Our teachers had taught us before.
Okay, now, Anyadeva.
Anyadeva.
I mean the Bhashyam now.
Anyadeva.
Prithageva
ahuhu.
Phalam
sambhavat
sambhutehe
karya brahmanah
upasanat.
So definitely there's a different independent result
for practicing the meditation upon Hiranyagarbha.
What is the benefit he is going to say?
Upanishad does not say what is the result we can accomplish
by practicing meditation upon Hiranyagarbha. But Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions in his commentary, it is Animadyehi Aishwarya Lakshanam Vyakhyatavantaha Ityartaha. So our rishis, our teachers who come in parampara, they have explained it very well that one can accomplish Ashtamaha Siddhayaha, eightfold occult powers. Okay, practicing meditation upon Hiranyagarbha will bless one with eightfold occult powers. Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. Therefore, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam is Angi. It has its own phalam. Without combining it with Prakriti Upasanam, even if you practice only upon Hiranyagarbha, meditation upon Hiranyagarbha, you can still enjoy the benefit of accomplishment of eightfold occult powers. Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. And it's called wealth. If a person is endowed with eightfold powers and their wealth, therefore Aishwaryam, it gives you a status of being the Lord. Iti vyakhyatavantaha. So here in his Bhashyam also, Shankara Bhagavatpada mentions, for Sambhavat, one word from mantra, he gives how many words? Sambhutehe karya brahmanaha upasanat. Only here he did not use the word devata jnanam, any other word, upasanat. Hiranyagarbha upasanena animadi aishwarya lakshanam. Animadi means what? Anima is one of the eightfold powers. A person will be blessed with eightfold occult powers such as anima. Anima, garima, mahima, lagima, we have those powers. We don't need to go into the details. Okay? It's a different lesson then. Vyakhyatavantaha. So we understand it's anima. So it is angi upasanam. Any questions? We can't complete anyway. Could I have thought of completing until the 14th mantra? But I have not moved ahead.
Still don't understand why each meditation has its own agni and so it's complete. But when they combine together, you get a nantra.
Oh, no, I did andam tamaha pravishanti. That word is used. They enter, people who practice meditation separately, they are said to be entering into andam tamaha. I told you this is not real condemnation. Okay? If a person practices meditation, definitely they will have a real phalam only. They won't enter into blending darkness. Definitely they will not enter. Why? Because how can practicing meditation prescribed in the Shastram will enjoy something worse and bad? Isn't it? Definitely if a person practices independently any meditation, he will enjoy the benefit of that meditation. Nobody will enter into any blending darkness or naraka. Will not go to naraka. And the condemnation is mentioned in the first verse only to enable a person to emphasize the importance of enjoying the benefit of combining those upasanas. Okay. If a person practices meditation, it is said he will have Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. That is the result. He will not go to Andantamaha. He will not enter into andam tamaha, blinding darkness. What will he have? Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. That is why, okay, second mantra says, if a person practices independently only Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, he will have Ashtamaha Siddhayaha. This is one statement of mantra. The just previous mantra says, the person who practices only Hiranyagarbha Upasanam will enter into Andantamaha. How can Veda contradict? One mantra says this, one mantra says this. That is why Shankara Bhagavatpada makes it very clear, Samuchichishaya. With the desire to combine, simply just for the sake of, you know, for the sake of highlighting the importance of combination of upasanas, simply condemnation is mentioned. Condemnation is not real condemnation. Really, nobody will enter into any andam tamaha. It's not there. Got it? Is it clear now? I think it's already clear. Actually, I have itching to explain to you how Hiranyagarbha, etc. But I don't want to enter into top. I want to finish this top meditation, this book text here. Then that's a different topic. See, if you understand what Hiranyagarbha is, what Prakriti is, and you can really see how expressive the word Shankara Bhagavatpada uses in his commentary. So many words he has used. See, dharma is taken to be the name of a dharmi. A virtue, an attribute is taken as the name of the dharmi. The person who has that attribute. Origination is the attribute. Birth is an attribute. It's taken to be the name of Hiranyagarbha.
Samji, can you give us an example of how does one meditate on Prakriti and how does one meditate on Hiranyagarbha? The actually, what is the meditation?
Yeah, I thought somebody should ask you this. Actually, the meditations are not prescribed here. The name of the meditation alone is prescribed here in this Upanishad. Meditations are what is Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, how this meditation should be practiced, etc. are discussed in the Upasana Kandaha. It's not mentioned here. And then the Upasanas, meditations prescribed in the Veda, actually we people are not, actually we need not, we are expected to practice those meditations. We have substitutes nowadays. Why? Because, the reason I tell you, why we are not allowed to practice those meditations. Whatever we are practicing as meditations, definitely have the basis on those upasanas. As I said, form of meditation is different. Okay, but the spirit behind the form is the same. Why we cannot practice meditations prescribed in the Veda Shastram? Because, first of all, these meditations were prescribed for the regular students of Veda Shastram. Which means the people who are studying Veda mantras regularly, they will know entire Veda, all the mantras. You know, they will know thoroughly, which means they would have the whole Veda textbook in their mind. In Vedic period, where we did not have books, no printed material like this, not even manuscripts, the whole teaching was done orally. It's a oral tradition. That's why it's called Karna Parampara. Karna Parampara means what? The teacher who teaches, it's a great person of profound knowledge of the entire Veda Shastram, but not even one paper or pen or nothing, pencil, nothing is with him.
How do you know if you cannot make out the highly person of profound knowledge and the illiterate person can't make out? Because all knowledge was retained in the form of thoughts in one's own mind. The whole Veda. How did he learn? He learned from his teacher who taught him every day. Guru Mukhat Shravanam. No online classes, no internet connections, nothing was available, no printed material, no press, no paper, no manuscripts, not even manuscripts. The teacher had all knowledge and he has to sit physically, the teacher must sit there, one must sit in front of the teacher and the teacher has to teach. And he first teaches all the Veda mantras. Okay? And the learning that the first student is supposed to listen to the mantras with the papa. This is swaras are also there. The swaras enable a person memorize the mantras easily. And they listen and listen. They learn to chant the mantras correctly first. Learn to chant and the mantras. Just learning, they memorize all the mantras. Learning to chant the mantras correctly, thereby having the mantras memorized, is called Veda Adhyayanam. After having learned the mantras, learning to chant the mantras, from directly from the teacher, just every day the teacher has to repeat 5 times, 10 times, they repeat, the due course, there's this time, the student would have learned all the Veda mantras memorized. He would have finished his Veda Adhyayanam. And where is the Veda book now? The whole book, no effort to print and then like put nice cover like this. We have print, press and then immediately Narayanji oranges and then take the print out, got the books. No. Every student comes to the class next after that. Every student has the whole book in the mind. He need not turn outside like this. When the teacher tells next mantra, he has to turn the page in the mind itself. Turning the page in the mind. No book is outside. And therefore he knows which mantra, which swara, which sound, where it is. And then when he starts to learn the meaning of mantras, learning to understand the meaning of mantras is called analysis of the meanings of mantras, is called Mimamsa. Okay? So Veda Adhyayanam first, Veda Mimamsa next. Why? Book must be ready in the mind. Then you can analyze the mantras, understand the meanings. So we are not like that. We struggle even to memorize some mantras. So we do not know which is where. And sometimes they take the one mantra and they say, take the syllable of this mantra and meditate upon this. Take this particular syllable as an alambanam and as a support symbol for space. Now, see the space on this letter. See vayu on this letter. They'll say that, upasams. We don't even know the mantra. We don't even know which letter means what. How will you do that? Therefore, these upasanams, we can understand that there are meditations prescribed. So many meditations are prescribed. One of the meditations is Hiranyagarbha upasanam. And this is the most powerful upasanam because it will enable you enjoy all Ashtamaha Siddhaya. But even practice of meditation is not an easy joke. It looks very simple. No. You must be very, very disciplined. Not an easy joke. For a person to have Ashtamaha Siddhis, he must have worked very, 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 very hard. Tapas. Nothing comes easily. If somebody is is a richest man here, means he must have worked very hard. Nothing comes easily. For every small thing you enjoy, you must have earned it. Either punyam in previous janma by doing something good, or at least you must be working hard now. Nothing comes, what you do not deserve, you cannot get. You enjoy anything, you get it because you deserve it, Bhagavan's wish. Understand? So, like that, even meditation, we simply were reading it here, understanding, it's not an easy joke. Okay? So, but we have substitutes nowadays for those meditations, how to enjoy the benefit of meditation. Doesn't matter whether we practice the same meditations or not, how can we enjoy the benefit of meditation? That is why we say nowadays we have substitutes for everything. The object of meditation must be Bhagavan. Devata means Ishvara, isn't it? So, not Devata Upasana, we have Bhagavan. Bhagavan means anything pertaining to Ishvara we have. We have substitute. Nama Japa, Mantra Japa, Manasa Japa, mentally doing Japa, and visualizing a given form, seeing the description of some verses, description of Bhagavan in, presented in some verses. Like that we have substitute meditation also. How we have substitute karma, we have substitute for meditation also, which is equally effective. Why? Because it is based on Vedic teaching. The upasana we practice, the worship we have now is a substitute for what is said in the Veda. It is based on the Vedic teaching. It does not contradict. Even the form of meditation is different, form of worship is different, still the spirit behind the form of worship and meditation is the same because it is based on the Vedic teaching. Is it clear? And here, the upasanas are mentioned in the Upanishads. For people, who are the people who study Upanishads? People who are mumukshus, who are jignasus, and who study some Upanishad must be a person aspiring for moksha, jnanam. Therefore, our interest must be in what? Only in jnanam. For a person who studies Upanishad, whose focus is on jnanam and moksha, it is also nice to know the limitations of upasanas. Just by studying all this, what do we understand? Oh, even if you work very hard and practice meditation on this Hiranyagarbha, you can only enjoy Attamaha Siddhis. So what? It will not remove your ignorance. So you will continue to be in samsara. I am not interested in Astamaha Siddhayaha. I am not interested in why? Because it will not remove my ignorance. It will not free me from the common human fundamental problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of insecurity centered on I. It will not remove my fear for good. Even the person who is endowed with Astamaha Siddhis will have the fear of death. Why? The I sense individuality will continue to be there. With all powers, his ahankara will be bloated again. Okay? But a person who doesn't have anything, ahankara will be very thin. Thin ahankara is also a problem. Bloated ahankara is also a problem. Any ahankara is a problem. What is ahankara? Wrong notion. Being subject to this fundamental human problem of sense of smallness, sense of inadequacy, sense of, no, centered on I is the problem. So any accomplishment in the world will not help you solve your fundamental problem. Whatever I achieve, still I am the same old person. What is the use? Is a solution for my problem. Is it clear? Once you understand, okay, very nice, Attamaha Siddheha, let other person practice, enjoy the benefits, I am not interested. Isn't it? This must be the understanding of a person who studies Upanishads. Therefore, Upanishad presents those upasanas only for people who are really keen and for us to understand the limitations of meditations and their results. At the same time, why they are prescribed for a person who is still gross, person who is still not interested in jnanam, who still has not discovered mukshuttvam in him, has still not discovered the jignasuttvam in him. The person is still aspiring for other things. He is not yet prepared for jnanam. For a person who wants to live performing actions, enjoying results of actions, for such a person, prescribe this. If this is not there, he will get rotten. So let him, how will he be disciplined? How will he prepare himself for jnanam later on, at least not in this janma, at least in future? This life must be a complete meaningful life, for which he must be guided, he must be disciplined, he must be helped to be a disciplined person, for which Veda Shastram prescribes all these things for people who are interested in the attainment of lokas, enjoyment of pleasures in terms of accomplishing attainment of lokas, other things. Okay, that's why in the very beginning it was said, these are all discussed not for jignasus, not for karmayogi is also jignasu only, not for the people who have knowledge of the self, or not for the people who are qualified for knowing the self. It's only for people who are addicted to karma. Kaminaha, remember the first sentence when we saw the opening bhashyam, kaminaha, kaminam, karma kurvantaha jijivashavaha yesanti, karma nishtaha yesanti tesham. Only for those people, these are all discussed. If at all you are very keen to study, I want to know what is Hiranyagarbha Upasanam, I want to practice, then we can listen another class. We have to go to the page, take and practice. But I tell you one thing, even now, this other way of seeing Hiranyagarbha, you know how it is? I told you just now, Hiranyagarbha is a concept. Hiranyagarbha is a concept. Hiranyagarbha is a name, one of the functional names attributed to the Lord, Ishwaraha. And Ishwaraha itself is a title attributed to the reality from the standpoint of manifestation. When you see the whole gross universe as manifestation of knowledge, Virat is the name. Look at the whole subtle manifestation as the Lord, name is Hiranyagarbha. And even when the subtle manifestation also is not there, gross manifestation also is not there, nothing is there. There's a time you experience nothingness. Even nothingness also, when nothing is there, means universe does not become non-existent. Only for the person who's asleep, universe is as good as non-existent. Universe is not non-existent. Is it clear? Then what happened? What is the name you can give? Unmanifest universe. And unmanifest universe also is looked upon as Ishvara, the Lord. What is the whole universe? Unmanifest is the Lord. Subtle manifestation is the Lord. Gross manifestation is the Lord. The whole universe, manifest or unmanifest, is nothing but the Lord. Okay, they will give three different names to the Lord. Unmanifest universe, Antaryamishwaraha. Manifest universe, Hiranyagarbha. Manifest whole gross universe, Virat. Okay. When you think about it, and who is Hiranyagarbha here? All subtle manifestation. Okay. Start from yourself. Your seeing powers are Hiranyagarbha. All your sense powers are Hiranyagarbha. Your pranas are Hiranyagarbha. Understand? And your powers of organs of actions are Hiranyagarbha. Your mind is Hiranyagarbha. Your intellect is Hiranyagarbha. Your thinking, you're able to think Hiranyagarbha. You're able to hear Hiranyagarbha. You're able to feel Hiranyagarbha. Okay? Hiranyagarbha is in every human being, every living being as a sukshma. You see, insect sitting, a small honeybee sitting and she, no, is squeezing this honey from the flower, extracting honey from the flower, that function on the part of the small little tiny bee is possible, which is Hiranyagarbha. Mosquito comes and bites you, takes a syringe, your blood from your body, Hiranyagarbha. Why am I talking mosquito? Because before we came here, mosquito, we are alerted about mosquitoes. You know, the British UK government has put on the website, Bahamas means big mosquito. I'm used to mosquitoes in India, not a problem. So, he should have a big mosquito. If I'm telling you here, mosquito comes and bites you, it takes blood from you. Amazing. The function of extracting its food in the form of your blood from your body is Hiranyagarbha Shakti. Where do you want to go and search for Hiranyagarbha? You're enjoying a lot of oxygen when walking here because all trees are busy in photosynthesis. They give a lot of oxygen out for us. They take all carbon dioxide, cleansing the place. Hiranyagarbha. Isn't it? This is our way of being with Hiranyagarbha. If you see Hiranyagarbha in this manner, Hiranyagarbha Upasanam. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.